Demons and Wizards, which touches on a couple of things about Eistert, but then also about you, and goes back all the way to the early 90s and your relationship with Hanzi of Blind Guardian, and then also sort of brings out another element of your creativity and your songwriting ability in a different forum than Eistert. So talk about the idea for Demons and Wizards and how that's maybe, you know, distinguishes from Eistert in terms of your mind, and, you know, what do you see happening for Demons and Wizards in the future?
Well, I'd say like you said, the friendship with Hanzi and I goes way back to 1990. So we're going on about 11 years now of being like brothers, and we've always spent a lot of time together whenever we had a chance to. So I think I was over there in Germany on the promotional tour for Days of Purgatory. So it'd be in 97, and I had a couple of days off at the end or something. I went to Hanzi's house. And we went out and partied the night before that we ended up writing a song together, which kind of happened by accident. We were hanging out at his house. We were a little hungover. We were a little bored. And I started playing guitar, and he started singing, and it sounded pretty cool. So we decided to go over to the studio, and we recorded it. We wrote it, and we recorded it within a couple hours. And it's My Last Sunrise, and that was the beginning of the album and of the project. And at that point, we didn't know when it was going to happen or what we were going to do, but we knew we had something special. And when we were on tour with them in Spain in 98 on Something Wicked tour, and they were doing Nightfall, their headline for Nightfall, and we were opening for them in Spain, and we started talking about, hey, let's do it. I said, come on, man, let's just do a whole record. Fuck it. Let's do our own thing. And that was the beginning of it. He was into it totally, and the magic is there. And the future of Demons and Wizards is, you know, obviously right now, Iced Earth and Blind Guardian are the priorities. But, you know, once things start to slow down a little bit in the next couple of years, we'll be getting back to another record. There will definitely be more, no doubt. I mean, it's too strong not to do it. You know, it would be a waste.
Okay. That, ladies and gentlemen, brings us back to the present. And we've talked about Horror Show already. And you've obviously heard it by now, and you've had a chance to react to it in your own way.
Made, now I won't make a drive. She'll never fail. magic will be gone. The day she'll melt away, this is the end of all the miracles.
Rockin' Radio, your rock station.
But did want to take this opportunity to touch on other aspects of John Schaefer. And I've actually gotten to know John probably over the past couple of years. And, I mean, the man's a musician, first and foremost. He's a songwriter. But besides that, I mean, if you take out those elements, there's still actually a pretty interesting personality. And that, you know, maybe doesn't come across in the music, but I thought we would use this opportunity in the interview to bring out some of those other elements. So what we're going to do is sort of use a rapid-fire approach, and I'm essentially going to just bring up a topic. I'll give John the chance to react to it for about probably 45, 60, 90 seconds, some defined period of time, because John does have a tendency to ramble.
Yeah, but, I do. I'm sorry.
So we'll give him a chance to respond, and then we'll kind of go through a few of these just to give you some other perspectives on John the Man. So first of all, let's start with something that's been very relevant in the U.S. recently. Let's talk about politics.
That is not my favorite subject, especially to discuss, because I think some people would misunderstand me a little bit. But what do you want to know?
Are you happy with the way that the election turned out?
Definitely. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, a very, very rare treat indeed. John at a loss for words by choice.
No, let's just say it this way. Politically, I'm into anybody who is... takes responsibility for their actions, is honest, works hard, has integrity. You know, if I could, well, never mind.
Okay, mercifully, we will move on here.
Yeah, and, that's probably a better idea.
The next topic I'm going to bring up, I know that John's going to have quite a bit to say about, so I'm probably going to have to shut him up relatively quickly on this one. Let's talk about motorcycles.
Okay. Well, they rule. No, I mean, what can I say? It's for me, it has become a way of life here fairly recently, and it's to me, it's therapy, no doubt. I mean, there's just something about being in the wind, man. And, until you know, the difference is like if you go through, like recently, the band was out in South Dakota doing a photo session, right? Well, the difference between riding around in South Dakota in a car is like you're in a cage riding around, you know. When you're on a bike, you're in the scenery. You're in it. You're a part of it. And it's a whole different feeling. It's so hard to describe, but it's like if you don't get it, you probably never will unless you get on a bike. And if you still don't get it, you definitely never will. It's one of those deals. So to me, it's therapy, man. I love it. Harley Davidson rule.
Can you talk about the three bikes that are in your garage right now?
Yeah, I got the 2000 Night Train, 2001 Road King, and 1946 WL Solo, which is the it's an antique, and it was a the bike that the Americans used in World War II. And it's the civilian model, but it's the same bike, same engine, same tranny, same frame, everything. So it's very cool. I'm going to restore it next winter.
Mm-hmm. The next topic is touches back on the music side a little bit. Talk about your, first of all, the role of the producer and engineer in the recording process, and then specifically your relationship with Jim.
Well, the role, for me, the role of an engineer is to get the sounds the band wants. You know, that's his job, is to make the guys happy in the band with the tones that they're getting, and to figure out a way to make them happy. And it's a very important job, no doubt, because it's essentially is the sound of the album. And if you if an engineer runs into a band that has no concept of what they want to sound like, then they certainly have a lot harder job ahead of them. And as far as a producer goes, I mean, the whole term producer, I think, in heavy metal is... you know, it's just not the same as like somebody that's going to produce Shania Twain or, you know, Britney Spears or something like that. You know, I mean, to me, when I hire Jim, I hire him to be, you know, my biggest critic, and also that member, the unseen member of the band, the guy that comes in and offers his opinion, because you're paying him for his opinion. You know, that's his job, is to tell you. He has to kind of be the devil's advocate sometimes. There's definitely a lot of psychology in producing, and Jim and I work very well together in that way, in a co-production sense. You know, we got the whole psychology thing down with the guy, with any guys that we're working with. It works very well, and so, you know, he has become a very important part of my whole, you know, establishment here, whatever. You know, I mean, Jim is a part of the team, and, you know, he's one of my best friends, and I just love him. I can't say enough. You know, and the thing is, a lot of people ask me, why do you keep going back to Morrisound? What is it? You know, and I've always said, well, you know, it's the guys are cool, and I've been going there for years. But you know what it really is? And I figured it out the other day. I started thinking about it. What it really is they're honest. Jim and Tom are honest people. I'm an honest guy. I like to work with honest people. To find honest people in the music business is a very fucking rare thing. So I'm hanging with the boys. You know what I mean? I mean, Tom has been like a big brother to me in a lot of ways, like way back early on when I was still a teenager, and was certainly influential in helping me get the band rolling and stuff. And when Jim came along and I started working with him, I felt like there was a connection made that, you know, he understands what I want maybe a little more, and he's more into the metal kind of stuff, and it seemed like that we really clicked. And I just love both of them. I consider them like family, and that's why. And I really think the root is honesty, and that makes me feel good, makes me feel loyal. So
okay, moving on to the next topic. And if you go into a certain room in your house, you see more action figures and comic characters than I've ever seen before. I mean, I didn't even think this many existed. So talk about your interest in terms of action figures, comic characters, then also just the collecting that you do.
I'm a collector of a lot of cool stuff. Kiss stuff, Star Wars, you know, a lot of different comic stuff. Like you said, Spawn especially. I don't know. It's just something I've been into. I love the artwork in the comic books. I like some of the stories. I mean, I'm not doing as much comic collecting lately simply because I don't have a great store up here in Indiana, for one thing, that I can really find everything that I would like to have at. And I just don't have the kind of time anymore to keep up with it. And it's been a few years. It's actually been probably 4 years since I've been really collecting that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's it. It's just another hobby.
Okay, moving on. Talk about actually growing up in Indiana, and I understand that you grew up actually not too far away from where you live now, and there are actually still some hints of the roots of Iced Earth, maybe a way to say it, in a small city in Indiana that fans may be interested in checking out if they're in the area.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about my dad's and stepmother's restaurant, which was actually our family. It's the bar it's now a like a sports bar, that side of it. It's a restaurant slash sports bar. And the part that is the sports bar used to be the Schaefer's Drugs, the pharmacy. And that is, you know, is what my grandfather started 75 years ago. And so anyway, in the sports bar, Dad's got a little iced earth wall going in there. But Schaefer's is more of a, it's Schaefer history, not iced earth history. So there's, it's a great restaurant and a cool little bar. If anybody comes through Edinburgh, Indiana, you know, go in there and check it out. But it's a family history place because it's all decked out in antiques and stuff. And it's really kind of, Schaefer's Old Town Inn is dedicated more to the history of the town than iced earth, certainly, okay, and the family, you know. So I'm just a small part of it, very small part.
Humbling perspective. Finally, we have, I think, maybe about another minute or so left. So I've got, I'll throw this one out. The current
state.
We've
got a couple. Okay.
The next topic, just get your, well, two more topics, and I'll throw both of them out, and then mm-hmm. talk about them one by one. The state of the music industry in terms of what it's doing right now and your experiences within it, and also the concept of the internet and what that could possibly mean to the music industry.
The state of the industry right now, it's been bad for a long time, I think. And even in the mainstream stuff, I would certainly much rather hear old 60s, 70s, and 80s rock and roll than this so-called rock and roll that's coming out, the majority of it that's coming out in the States nowadays, and it has been in the last 10 years. So I think that the music industry, and especially the heavy music industry, is in desperate need for a change. You know, it's just choking. It sucks so bad. We are in so much of a need of another revolution, and we're the ones that are going to lead it. You know, if we can just get that opportunity to open for the right band, then the shit's going to take off like wildfire, and we're going to be where we deserve to be. And as far as the internet goes, I think there's a lot of good things about it, a lot of bad things about it. The future, I don't know. All I know as a songwriter, as a guy who's busted his ass for 17 years now to make my dreams come true, I really don't appreciate the fact that there are mediums out there to where a songwriter does not get paid and people are basically stealing music. And I do not appreciate it, and neither does anybody else that works for a living. So that's one thing that scares me. And until there's some kind of a legislation put into effect that will control this situation, I am not real happy with the way things are right now. And for the people that feel like they deserve some kind of handout, all I can say is, fuck you. You know, I worked for this shit. My music, you want it, you enjoy it, well, you got to pay for it, okay? I'm not doing it for free. I've worked too hard. You know, the charity days were over a long time ago, and we don't do that, and neither should anybody else. It's like, do you think just because you want to go into a fucking shoe store and you like the pair of shoes that you should just take them? I mean, this is, you know, it's ridiculous. It's to even, there is even a question of whether it's morally wrong or not blows me away. So it's, you know, that's the thing that scares me about the internet. It could potentially turn into something great for the artists themselves if we can cut out the middleman, which is the record label, actually the middleman is a distributor, but we can cut out the record label. That would be a big step if it comes to that someday. Cool. I don't know. I mean, I'm not enough of a computer geek to really get into it that much. You know, I have more important things to do, and it's run the band. So, Some guys are designed for that, and I'm not. I don't like the idea of people taking my shit for free.
Okay, so you respect the internet as a way to get your music to the fans, but with the artistic integrity of the creator to be retained in that concept.
Yeah, but I think the internet can be used for a lot more things. I mean, and obviously it is, than just the music side of it. That's what's really cool about it. There's a lot of great things about it, no doubt. It scares me when intellectual property, which is something that is like, you know, people, unless they've been involved in it and had to fight for something like artistic rights, they have no concept of what a battle it is. And I don't know, you know, I don't owe anybody any fucking thing. So nobody's getting nothing from free for me unless I want them to. You know, that's what I feel about it.
Okay, moving on into sort of wrap up this discussion. Once again, thanks for the time, John.
No problem, man.
The future vision, and this is every time that I've interviewed you, I always asked you about where do you see Eistert going? What do you want to say to the fans? What's your perspective 5-10 years down the road? And I know that you have some specific things that, you know, obviously there's quite a bit of ambition that's driving the band. You still have a vision of where you want to take Eistert. So if you can use this opportunity to articulate that to the fans.
Well, I mean, to me, we still have a very, very long way to go. I mean, and this is 17 years now that I've been doing this. Okay, 11 as a signed band, but 6 years of really hard work before that just to get signed. So, you know, I'm not new at this stuff. Been doing a long time, but I still feel like we have a long way to go, and I still have a lot of fire left in me and a lot of hunger to keep the drive alive. And I think the future is wide open, man. I think anything's possible, and I think that now especially that we are going to be free and we can shop another deal and potentially get with another label that has the connections and the kind of clout that it takes to get on tour with a band that we can open for that is going to give us, you know, an audience to play in front of besides our own. You know, we have no business headlining around the world constantly because you're already playing most of the time to people who know your music. The only way to advance and get to that next step is to open for the big guys. And that's what I've been dreaming of and trying to do for years and years. So hopefully the label change will be a big part of that. So,
great. Well,
and I want to tell the fans, I hope you guys really enjoy the record and we look forward to seeing you out on tour. And as always, we are very, very appreciative of the undying loyalty from the real Eistert fans that are out there. And it just keeps growing and getting stronger every day. And I love all of you for it. And all of you that are nice to us anyway. No. All the fans rule. And we all do. So I just say thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks, John. This is John and Sumit Chandra signing off from John's basement in Indiana. We will see you on tour.
Peace.
Rockin' Radio, your rock station. Radio, your rock station. Rockin' Radio, your rock station.
Another day, just like any other. Out of the blue, it turned to horror. How could they? Why would they? The innocent suffered hell's inferno. A senseless act that goes unforgotten. How could they? They will pay when the ego cries. Attempting vengeance, but we are focused, we seek redemption. We are free, we'll stay free. All they've done is make us stronger. The sleeping giant is asleep no longer. If need be, we'll die free when the ego cries.
Radio, your rock station. Is dead. Local Radio, your rock station.
Let our spirit die. Time is over. Anointed by the cross.